Throughout this letter, Paul has been preparing Timothy to become his successor because Paul knows that he is about to be martyred at Rome. And so in the final instructions that we began to look at today, Paul is not telling Timothy anything new, but rather he is adding emphasis to things that Timothy already knows. Paul is attempting to prepare Timothy for the hardships that he will face as a minister of the gospel in trying times. Let us pray. Almighty and gracious God, as we begin to look at this final chapter of 2 Timothy today, we pray that you would grant to us wisdom and understanding and grace to comprehend the things that Paul taught to Timothy and to see how they apply to our ministry today and to the life of every Christian. Please forgive our sins. We pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Hear the word of God. I'm reading today from 2 Timothy chapter 4, the first 5 verses. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Amen. This is God's holy, inspired, infallible word. May he add his wonderful blessing to our understanding of it this day. When Paul writes, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the word that he uses for charge means that Paul is placing Timothy under an oath before Almighty God. He is under oath before God and under oath before his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the point of the charge is to remind Timothy that God sees and hears everything that Timothy does and says. Nothing can escape the gaze of Almighty God. Nothing can escape the observation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is nothing that will be ignored by God. There is nothing that will be forsaken by God at all. God will take note of everything. So what this means for Timothy, of course, as a minister of the gospel, is that what he is tasked to do will be under observation by God. All of Timothy's successes and also all of his failures, all of his zeal and dedication and efforts, as well as any lackness, will be recognized and observed by Almighty God. All of that comes under divine scrutiny at all times. Nothing can be hid from God. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul writes, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now, what Paul is reminding Timothy of right now is that Jesus Christ, at that very moment in which Paul was writing, was seated upon the throne of God in heaven and is and was and will continue to rule and reign until he finally comes again. On that last day, after all of the elect of God have been saved, the Lord Jesus Christ will return from heaven, and he will bring with him in his heavenly train all of the saints who have died and gone before us. Well, we've already read about this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where we see the description that's given there. Christ returns, he comes back with the souls of the departed elect, and when he returns, the dead in Christ rise first. In other words, the bodies of those who have died, their souls are in heaven, will rise and be reunited with those souls and glorified. And then all the saints who are alive on earth at the time of the return of Christ will be instantly transformed and will join the rest in the air with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all of the wicked dead shall be raised. And Christ will sit upon his throne of judgment, and all of mankind who have ever lived will appear to stand before him and will be judged. The outcome of that judgment will be that the wicked will be cast into the lake of fire for their sins, and the righteous will enter into a new manifestation of the kingdom. It will be the eternal kingdom, and they will be glorified in that kingdom forever. So why does Paul remind Timothy of this? I think one of the reasons he reminds Timothy here is to encourage him to recognize that when Christ does return, Timothy will rise and will stand before Christ and will be judged before Christ for what he has done in his ministry. You see, Timothy and all ministers of the gospel throughout all of history are like the watchman on the wall mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 33. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people and say to them, When I bring the sword upon a land, and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning will save his life. But if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. And so Timothy is a watchman. All ministers of the gospel are watchmen. And we are to always warn the people of the coming judgment of God, the dangers of hell because of sin. If Timothy does not do this, then he will be found guilty. And so Paul is warning him of the return of Christ and the fact that Timothy will stand before him and give an account of all of his ministry, just as you and I, all Christian ministers and all Christians, will give an account of our lives before Christ when he returns. What does Paul place Timothy under oath before God to do? Preach the word, he says. Timothy is to preach or to herald the word of God. This word for preach, this verb, is related to the noun herald. Now, what does a herald do? A herald announces a message that has been committed to him. A herald does not have the right to change the message. A herald does not have the right to forsake the message. A herald does not have the right to substitute for the message his own thoughts. He is to proclaim word for word what has been committed unto him. And this is what Timothy is to do. As he preaches or heralds the word, he is to preach the exact truth of Almighty God. He is to preach the gospel, nothing more and nothing less. He may not substitute his own thoughts for the word of God. He may not attempt to come up in his own mind or in his own heart with ideas that he thinks would be better for people to hear than the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so he is to proclaim it without dilution. He is to proclaim it without alteration. Timothy is to proclaim the word of God. He is to preach the word. We've already seen in the previous chapter that the word of God is able to make a person wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. For indeed, the word of God is God's holy truth. It is the only message that saves. And so it is the message of the Holy Scriptures from beginning to end that are all about the Lord Jesus Christ. His life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ruling and reigning, and his return. It's all about what Christ has done for sinners. And so Timothy is to herald that forth with power. He's not to stop. He's not to change it, because the gospel and the gospel alone is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Timothy is called on to preach the gospel with urgency at all times. Be ready in season and out of season, Paul says. And so he is not to do this. He's not to be a herald. He's not to be a preacher only when he feels like it. But he is to be ready and to proclaim the Word of God at all times without holding back. Now, these terms, in season and out of season, that we find in our Bibles indicate such things as when the times are favorable and the hearers are ready and they are receptive to what God has to say, or times that are unfavorable, where there is persecution and hostility toward the gospel, where people do not want to hear, and when they hear, they reject what God has to say. Now, the way that God says this through Paul to Timothy is to remind Timothy that he is not to make excuses for any failure to preach the gospel, even if things are tough and times are hard. He must always do all to fulfill his duty. The results are, after all, in the hands of Almighty God. Timothy is called upon to be diligent, and he is called upon to be faithful in proclaiming the truth. So that means that he will preach at all times. He will preach when he is feeling well. He will preach when he is sick. He will preach when he is feeling refreshed and when he is very tired. He will preach when the crowds clamor to hear what God has to say and when they reject the truth and the message and the messenger. And so Timothy is to remember that he is to be faithful to God in his preaching. He is to proclaim the gospel no matter what. As Timothy goes about preaching the gospel with urgency, he is to use all sorts of appeals to his hearers. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. These three words, convince, rebuke, and exhort, indicate that Timothy is to appeal to the intellect, to the moral standing of a person, and also to his emotional nature. And so convince means that he is to appeal to the intellect of man. He's to appeal to the mind of his listeners. He is to lay before them the truths of Holy Scripture regarding such things as man's universal sin before Almighty God, that all men everywhere are sinners, and that every single particular individual person is a sinner before Almighty God. He is to lay forth the fact that because of our sin as human beings, we need a Savior, someone from outside of ourselves who can deliver us. And he is to set forth from both the Old Testament and the New Testament the teaching that Jesus Christ is that one and only Savior of sinners, that Christ is the Son of God, that he is the Savior of sinners, that he came to this world to redeem us, and he did so by providing perfect righteousness on his part for the failure that we have of having no righteousness at all. And he also took upon himself our sin and bled and died in our place upon the cross. And so he was the perfect substitute. We see that he is going to lay before them the necessity that they must repent of their sins, turn away from them with hatred of sin, and turn toward God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is to do everything he can to convince them of the truths that are set forth in Scripture. He's also to rebuke them, which means he appeals to their moral character, their moral failures. He is to lay before them the command of Almighty God, "Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And he is to show that this applies to all men everywhere, that God calls upon us as Christians to be holy, and we are not. He calls upon unbelievers to be holy, and they cannot be. And therefore, he is to show all men how we fall far, far short of this command of holiness that God demands of us, and that we are damned for our sin and sent to hell unless we repent of that sin and trust in Christ and have His righteousness imputed to us, so that we can stand before God morally cleansed by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is also to exhort, which means he is to appeal to the emotional character, the emotional nature of those who hear him. He is to impress upon their souls the weight of their sin before a holy God. And he is to urge them to cry out from the heart for forgiveness of sin before God, to plead with him for forgiveness, and to find that forgiveness in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now, as Timothy goes about doing this, he is to do it with all long-suffering. This is a term that Paul has used before to illustrate from his own life what it was like. And so Timothy has seen Paul being long-suffering himself. He was long-suffering in the face of persecutions. He was long-suffering in the face of physical and spiritual distress. And now Paul exhorts Timothy also to be long-suffering, to be patient in his dealing with his own trials that will come upon him because he is a minister of the gospel. And so every minister of the gospel needs to take to heart what Paul says to Timothy, that we must be long-suffering when it comes to the trials that we face for being Christian ministers. He is to do this with all manner of teaching as well. Now, some will not want to hear what Timothy has to say, and so he must seek to exhort them nonetheless. Others will hear what he has to say, but have no clue what to do with it. They will not understand how they are to apply it. And so in teaching, Timothy is to explain to them how the Word of God applies to them and their particular situation. Whatever manner of teaching is necessary, Timothy is to use that to bring the Word of God to bear upon those who are before him as those who hear the gospel message. He's to use it to help to convey that message of God to those who are lost and dying in sin. Now comes the difficult part. Timothy is to preach to them whether they will listen to him or not. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So preaching the gospel must be done with urgency because Timothy is to be aware of the fact that a time was approaching and will be upon him shortly when, as it is upon us today many times, when people do not want to hear the gospel at all. They don't want to hear healthy truth spoken from God's Word. Paul had in mind, of course, the false teachers in Ephesus in that particular day that Timothy was facing. But down through history, others like them as well, and in our day also. Others who would follow after these false teachers with new and more damaging heresies and false teaching. The perverseness of men in their sin is so great that unless God gives ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to believe, men will continue in their perverse, hard-hearted rebellion against God. They will prefer lies and fables to the truth. So Paul warns Timothy of a time coming when they would not endure sound or healthy doctrine. We've seen that word sound before. Paul has used it in the past, and it literally refers to healthy or wholesome doctrine. Sound words or sound doctrine are those things that promote spiritual health and spiritual growth, whereas false teaching, false doctrine, serves only to promote spiritual ill health and degeneracy. Sound words are healthy words as opposed to the unhealthy lies of the false teachers and others Those lies are things such as fables and myths and endless genealogies that Paul has talked about in 1 and 2 Timothy. These were the things that were being taught by the false teachers there at Ephesus. Sound words then are godly words. They are biblical doctrines that are to be received and believed and passed on to future generations intact. That's what he's to preach. So instead of following sound words, the time is coming when people will follow their own desires or lusts, and they will do so because they have itching ears. Now, I have a little dog who's 15 years old, and he is the most loving little creature you would ever find at all. He just loves people in general. One thing he also loves to have done to him is to have his ears scratched. He'll come up to me and I'll put my hand down and he will nuzzle his head against my hand and want me to scratch his ears. And I'll scratch him, and when I start to take my hand away, he will nuzzle my hand even more. So, no, don't stop. He really enjoys it. He gets this blissful look on his face when his ears are being scratched. That's the type of image that Paul is using here for sinners who get this blissful look on their face when people lie to them and tell them what they want to hear, not what they don't want to hear, which is the truth. And so in this passage, there are some who will not hear the truth. They want someone to tell them things that will make them feel good. And so today, people listen to prosperity preachers. They listen to name it and claim it hucksters. They listen to faith healers of all sorts. But they will refuse to listen to someone who tells them that they are sinners in the sight of Almighty God and they must repent and they must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, for there is no salvation apart from Him. That they reject. Paul says that what these false believers do, with these people who reject the truth, who have itching ears, is they heap up for themselves teachers. Now, he's not saying they just go out and find one guy who is a false teacher. No, they find dozens and dozens and dozens of these false teachers, and they heap them up in a pile before them so that they can listen to one fellow tickle their ears one day and someone else tickle their ears the next day, saying the things that they want to hear, not the things that they don't want to hear, the truth. And so Paul tells Timothy here, that as they do this, what happens is they turn their ears away from the truth and will instead listen to lies and fables and falsehoods of all sort. And so people have always liked to listen to the latest rumors. They love the juiciest morsels of gossip. They find their thrill in the most outlandish theories of any kind. And they prefer any of these things to the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they'll listen to anybody who will tickle their ears with the latest and greatest, really weird, strange thing that does not call upon them to turn from sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what Paul says to Timothy, you're going to face people like this, preach to them nonetheless. Timothy is also called upon to preach the word with fidelity. He is to be on his guard, but you be watchful in all things. Now, taking a clue once again from the watchman on the wall in Ezekiel chapter 33, Timothy is to be on his guard and to watch out for false doctrines, false teachers, dangers that are coming to warn the people of God. He is to be watchful. This word means to be sober. And so he is to be on his guard at all times. He's been warned already by Paul that perilous times were coming. He's been warned that men will not put up with sound doctrine. He has to be on the alert for attacks that come from the devil and from followers of Satan and those who are against the truth of the gospel. And so he is to be ready, and he is to keep a steady head about himself and to remain alert for danger from the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is to watch, as Paul told him back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he is to watch his own life and doctrine carefully. So he is to watch how he lives, and he is to watch what he teaches very carefully so that he does not get swept away and so that he is able to discern the truth and therefore warn others of dangers that lie ahead. Timothy is not only to be on his guard at all times, he is to be steadfast. Endure afflictions, Paul says. Now, Paul had already told Timothy that he was to endure hardship as a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. That word that's used, translated hardship and translated afflictions here, means to suffer physical pain. It means to suffer hardship or distress. Paul, in his own life, was an example of this. We see Paul undergoing persecution. There was a time when he was stoned and left for dead. He endured physical hardship, and at this very moment that Paul is writing to Timothy, he is on death row in prison. And so afflictions come from those who would persecute believers, and in particular would persecute ministers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Persecution comes from enemies of Christ. Persecution also comes from the sleepless nights and endless days of labor that Paul put in as a minister of the gospel, that Timothy is being called upon also to put in for the gospel. So in all things, Timothy is not to give up, but he is to remain steadfast. He is to endure all types of afflictions for the cause of Christ. Timothy was not only to be on his guard, he was not only to be steadfast, but he was to be an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. And so Paul calls on him to do this particular task. In the New Testament, we see the office of evangelist falling between, on the one hand, apostles and prophets, and on the other hand, pastors and teachers. And so this was a New Testament office. It is today also a New Testament office. The office of evangelist today is speaking of one who goes about as Paul did from town to town, ministering the word of God to the lost. And so evangelists today do much the same thing. So Timothy is not only the pastor of the church there at Ephesus, but he is Paul's representative to the churches at large. And therefore, he is Paul's representative to the churches in all of Asia Minor. Timothy is being prepared by Paul to step into Paul's shoes once Paul is martyred at Rome. And so doing the work of an evangelist meant that he was to continue where Paul leaves off. He's to pick up the ministry that Paul leaves behind when he dies. And he is to go from town to town preaching the gospel and establishing churches of the Lord Jesus Christ and strengthening them in the faith that they have in Christ through the Word of God. And so, above all, he is to preach the gospel everywhere he goes. He is to be an evangelist at all times. Finally, Paul writes, fulfill your ministry. And so, in doing all of these things, in preaching the gospel everywhere he went, in being doing the work of an evangelist, Timothy is to fulfill the service, the duty that has been entrusted to him by God. He is a minister of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he is to fulfill that ministry at all times. He is fulfilling that ministry of service to Christ by preaching everywhere he goes, by being an evangelist, doing the work of evangelism everywhere that he would go. Now, as Christians today, we are also called upon to fulfill our ministries before the Lord. Some of us are pastors or evangelists or missionaries whose task it is to preach the gospel to the lost, both in this country and around the world. Others are lay Christians who are called upon to serve the Lord Jesus Christ wherever you happen to be. And so we're called upon to be witnesses for Christ on the job and at home at all times. We are all called upon as Christians to serve Jesus Christ in one way or another, fulfill our ministries. So, Christian, as Paul says, fulfill your ministry. Do your job. Bear a good witness for Christ wherever you go. And if you're listening or watching today and you are not a Christian, then I urge you to see that you are a sinner in the sight of a holy God, to recognize that the wages of sin is death, but that the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so flee from your sin with hatred and revulsion, and flee to God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Trust Him alone, and you will find salvation. You will find wonderful blessings that you cannot begin to imagine now in your lost condition. Remember what Paul has said here. All of us will at the end, on the last day, stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and all of us will give an account of our lives to Him. What will your account be? What will you have to say about yourself? If you are a sinner, you have nothing to offer to God. Turn to Christ, trust in Him, and on that last day, you will be able to offer up to God a life that has been redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, a life that is holy only because of the holiness of Christ, a life of faith, a life of trust, and a life of obedience through Him. So trust Him today if you've never done so before. Amen. Let us pray once again. Almighty, gracious, eternal God, how I thank You for these instructions that Paul gave Timothy so long ago. Instructions that not only apply to every minister of the gospel, but also are applicable to every Christian as well. Father, remind us, as Paul has reminded Timothy, that we shall stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we shall give an account. And so, Father, my prayer is what I exhorted the folks today, that each Christian would be able to give a good account of faith in Christ, and that any watching or listening today who do not know Christ would have their hearts open to believe in Him, to flee from sin and trust in Jesus even today. And so bless us on that final day to be able to give a good account of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ before Him. I ask in His precious name. Amen. Thank you for being with me this week, and I look forward to bringing the Word of God again next time.